Well, liberal arts isn't a term that you hear a lot anymore, but our guest thinks that's a bad thing. Larry Mueller here again. Tom Plager back with us. He is president of Lake Superior State University now and the former campus executive officer and dean of UW-Baraboo Sauk County. We used to visit with him pretty often. He'll be in Madison next week to give a lecture on the power of liberal arts. And we're going to talk with him about the importance of this type of education. How important is a liberal arts education in our current work environment? Did you get a liberal arts education yourself? How did that help or maybe hurt you in your life? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post a question or comment on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And Tom Plager, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
It's great to be back, Larry. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners on the show. And it's been a couple of years. I'm looking out the window at Canada in one direction from my campus and back at the beautiful campus looking toward Michigan. But it's great to talk with you today.
And I've been on your Facebook page and looking. It looks like a wonderful setting at Lake Superior State University, for sure.
It is. We're right on the border. It's an international community with the Twin Sioux and a very interesting place and a beautiful campus and institution that offers both a liberal arts curriculum but also a strong professional technical program as well.
How do you define a liberal arts education?
Well, the term of liberal arts originally refers to a series, a broad grouping of disciplines that would include the natural and social sciences, mathematics, the humanities, and the fine arts. And today you hear STEM quite a bit as a subdivision, really, of some of the liberal arts, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But really, science and mathematics are liberal arts fields and part of the traditional curriculum that's part of a liberal arts education. And a liberal arts education refers to those majors, but a liberal education is a strong, broad collection of courses in those variety of disciplines that contribute to the overall outcome and the graduate.
Who benefits from a liberal arts background?
Well, I want to separate those terms out a little bit in terms of the liberal arts majors, which are those broad groups, and again, science majors in most institutions would be housed within liberal arts context as well as mathematics, and they are the underpinnings as well as the professional and technical fields. I think everyone benefits today in having a strong liberal education base, and by that I mean a base or collection of courses and experiences that produce a creative, curious person that understands science, math, can appreciate the aesthetic, the arts, the humanities, and can connect all those disciplines regardless of what their major is to a series of problems or tasks. And so it's creating a broad, rounded individual that not only can go out and work in the workforce, but also can apply those skills to all dimensions of their life in public service and their personal life, professional life, and so forth.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you think society looks on liberal education differently now than maybe in the past?
I do, and I think that's what's of great concern, is I think the STEM fields are in high demand. Michigan, for example, has performance metrics on its universities that reward us for producing majors in certain high-demand areas, and there's some value to that, but what's of concern is that we need students to study a wide range of fields, and we don't want to overproduce in one area for the immediate now. That's one of the difficult things about being a university administrator, is that you have to think about the students, the graduates you're producing. Not only do they have to be relevant now and when they're getting out in the first few years as they enter whatever it is they're going to do, but also 10, 20 years out. And that broad liberal education base is really what allows someone to move from their entry-level job to a management or executive position or a position that requires more leadership. If you think about what got you your first job, it's usually specific skills within a discipline, but if you're mid-career or later in career and you look back and think about what allowed me to assume leadership positions, those are the broad liberal education skills, communication, analytical thinking, empathy, the ability to connect with other people. Those skills are more important than ever today.
You know, I'm having lunch after the show today with David McDonald, who's a professor in the history department here, And as I was thinking about him, I also thought about Bud Selig, who was commissioner of baseball for so many, many years, was a history major at the UW-Madison and had a liberal arts education.
And I think what's important also for young people entering college to understand that there are many careers and opportunities and problems to solve that you may end up in a field that has nothing in its name that's related to what you majored in. Now, history is a great example, or English is another one, where there are lots of opportunities for students with those degrees, but they don't see a whole lot of ads out there hiring an entry-level historian at the baccalaureate level. But the skills that you learn by studying history in combination with this broad collection of liberal education courses at the core can give you the skills to solve problems and approach information and connect information that are useful in a whole variety of contexts. And many Fortune 500 CEOs have a liberal arts base for their either their first degree or their major that they studied in college.
Yeah. Holly and Sullivan has something for us. Let's go there. Holly, thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to encourage what you're talking about for students who are looking at their future. There, you know, are so many professional degrees, and I did start with a degree in nursing, and I worked as an RN, but when I wanted to go back later after having kids, I wanted to go to law school, and I had what I needed for it on paper, but not in experience, because I did not have a very broad liberal education, liberal arts. It was very scientific. So I ended up thinking I'd go to law school, and I went back to social work, but now I am finishing up my PhD in social work. I love it, and I just can't emphasize enough that, you know, liberal arts opens so many doors, and if we stick with just the professional degrees to start with, sometimes people get boxed in, and I don't know what I'd be doing right now if I had been able to do that as an adult. So I just think this is great what you're saying.
I appreciate the comments. Great comments and a great case study and example in terms of your educational path. There are a couple of responses that I'd like to make. It's interesting, the example of nursing. If you look at much of the nursing profession is moving toward baccalaureate-prepared nurses, and if you look at the difference between a two-year nursing degree and a four-year nursing degree, what is the difference? It's primarily the liberal arts, liberal education curriculum stacked on top of the professional technical nursing curriculum to produce that well-rounded nursing graduate who can solve problems, connect with physicians, connect with a wide variety of patients and stakeholders in a hospital setting. That's the kind of nurses that hospitals want now, is someone that has that broad set of skills that can go beyond the immediate technical task at hand. You also make a very interesting comment that I think is important, and one of the things that I have seen as a higher ed leader in a number of contexts is young people, particularly first-generation folks, are being steered into thinking that there are only a few tracks that one should study in college, and that concerns me. I recently gave a talk to approximately 80 of the top high school students from 13 school districts and went down the line of what are you all planning to study, and the majority mentioned something in science, technology, business, engineering, mathematics, or medicine, all very important fields, but what was missing is you didn't hear history, English, sociology, political science, and we need people to think about those fields as well, which will give them plenty of opportunities once they move on from college as well.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Holly, for calling. I was thinking about a couple of my students who graduated in the Department of Life Sciences Communication, where I work, and Social Science Department, and were accepted into medical school and have done great.
And that's another interesting trend that you see with medical schools, is looking for students. A number of institutions are specifically seeking out undergraduates that have more than the traditional science, biological science route to medical school. Obviously very important. You have to know biology, have to have a foundation in the natural sciences, but medical schools are also interested in having folks that have studied the humanities, that understand the social dimension that they're working in, as well as the aesthetic, and that that broad base produces a better end medical doctor. And I would say the same is true with engineers, the same is true with lawyers and many other fields, of having that broad interdisciplinary curriculum at the undergraduate level is what allows you to make connections between various types of information and peoples and problems and ideas.
Yeah. Holly, thanks again. Doc in Big Cedar Lake, thank you for calling.
Larry, thank you for taking my call. Your guest is touching on such an important tenet. I'm UWLNS 51, Med School 54. Your guest is touching on something which our governor and legislature to some degree do not realize, and that is that the purpose of going to college is not to become technically trained, but to become an educated person. And that's what I wanted to say.
Tom?
I agree 100%. I think if you look at most universities, and the University of Wisconsin system's mission is very similar to Lake Superior State University's position. We both have develop human potential, develop the student to its fullest, exist, are embedded in both institutions' missions. And that includes providing career opportunities, but it more importantly is about providing an educated person, a person who can learn and become a citizen and participate in government, participate in communities. And a liberal education is so important today because it connects information and allows you to learn and have lifelong learning skills. More important now than ever because there is just a ubiquitous exposure to information. And I think the jobs of the future will require people to be able to evaluate information because we're just constantly bombarded with it and connect it and make sense out of it. And that not only makes you successful in your professional world, but also makes you successful as a citizen. So I agree with the caller's comments, and I think they're very important for Wisconsin's future and the future of the United States as a whole.
Thanks, Doc, for that call. Tom Plager, I should say President Plager, president of Lake Superior State University. He'll be back right after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're taking a look right now at the role of the liberal arts education in our lives today. Talking with Tom Plager. Tom is the president of Lake Superior State University, former campus executive officer and dean of UW-Baraboo Sauk County. He'll be in Madison next week to give a lecture on the power of liberal arts. And we're talking about it and how it relates to lifelong learning and other areas of society. How do you feel about a liberal arts education? Do you think it fosters creativity? How important is it? I hope you can give us your own experiences as well. Call in at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Tom, why does a liberal arts, or why do you think a liberal arts education leads to creativity?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to connect information and perspectives from multiple disciplines, and it produces a well-rounded individual. And again, I want to differentiate the term between a liberal arts degree and a liberal education base. And to give an example, here at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, we have one of the first robotics engineering program in the country. We have a fisheries management program that produces the significant number, if not the majority, of folks in that field came out of our campus. Both of those programs, we want and expect our graduates to have a broad liberal education base so that our robotics engineers get out and they can speak and solve arguments and connect through written and speech, and also appreciate the aesthetic of what they're doing and also the implications in the social world, and also in terms of the humanistic world. So we want to have not only liberal arts majors in the traditional liberal arts field, fields be well-rounded. We also want our technical and professional grads to have a liberal education base so that they also get the benefit of that educational experience, because it is so important to connect multiple viewpoints today.
I love having those technical school students in my classes. They often come in without, and they're a little, often a little behind in terms of communication skills, and it's great by the end of the semester to at least have made some inroads into improving their ability and broadening their output, their outlook a little bit.
No question about that. And as you, I think, you know, I'm an archaeologist by training. I think of myself as being a liberal arts graduate, but my professional technical training is in archaeology. And I worked as a field archaeologist for many years, often with civil engineers and mechanical engineers on large highway projects or Corps of Engineer projects that involved large construction, civil constructions. And I could immediately pick out engineering folks that came from a program that had a liberal education base, because they could understand why these environmental impact studies were being done. They could understand the social dimension and the implications politically of the project they were working on, and they understood that there was an aesthetic dimension besides the functional component of whatever it is they were designing and working on. And those are the kinds of graduates we need to solve problems and connect different disciplines to see their particular problem or scope of what they're working on in a multidimensional way.
Let's turn to Jeff in Green Bay next. Jeff, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Great show today. This is something I think about quite often. You know, my own experience in the first half of the 1980s when I did my undergraduate, I lived in a foreign language dorm, and I was able to, and if it weren't for a liberal arts education, I don't know if I would have had a lot of the experiences that I had later on, like meeting my wife, who was from another country, who did not know English at the time that I met her, and, you know, things like that. And you know, the liberal arts experience kind of gave me the perspective to be able to kind of step back and look at things from in the shoes of, you know, individuals from other cultures and frameworks in life and that, to kind of think, you know, how would they approach this? What would be their perspective? And I think about that often when I process things in my professional job and also, you know, in life in general, when I approach various issues.
Jeff, thanks a lot for calling.
Great points, and I would say one of the most important skills for a college graduate and someone successful in life and whatever they do today, but in their professional careers, is the skill of empathy. And I think a liberal education provides that, the ability to see different cultures and different peoples from different perspectives. And that is more important again than ever, given the interconnectedness of our world today and where it's headed, both in terms of digital interconnectedness, but also in terms of trade and economy. Those skills are things that employers seek out. And they're often, empathy is a skill that leads to leadership and opportunities in terms of connections down the road in someone's career path.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thank you so much. I want to give Jim in McGregor, Iowa, a chance to join in as well. Jim, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I hope you haven't already covered this ground, but I've enjoyed hearing the many comments. It's my understanding that at the time of its origin, a liberal arts education was for the purpose of educating free people. There's the word liberal has to do with a liberal originally was someone who was free as opposed to being a servant or a slave, and that the purpose of a liberal arts education was to have as strong and as well-rounded a citizenry as a nation could possibly have. That was certainly I would describe that as a benefit I received in getting a liberal arts education.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Tom Plager, a comment?
Sure. I think that the origins of the traditional liberal arts curriculum have that exactly in mind, of the freedom of the mind, in the ability to develop to one's fullest potential. And that was originally what drove a liberal education or the liberal arts. And it was an education that originally was only for the elite. When you look at the land-grant mission and the Morrill Act in the 1860s, that basically allowed our public universities to provide access and connect university resources to its citizenry, it was an opportunity to take a liberal education, the liberal arts, something that was reserved for the elite, that was predominantly offered in a private setting in the Ivies, and bring it to the public throughout the United States. And that's something that was a tremendous impact on the economy. And I would say that the second wave of that, of the GI Bill, coming back after World War II, allowed many first-generation students to experience a liberal education that otherwise would not have been possible. So, yes, that's what I see the origins, I think most scholars would, is liberating the mind and providing opportunity. And we've had a number of key measures or initiatives in our country's history that allowed this to be opened up to a much broader audience than what it was traditionally offered for.
Yeah. Harry in Brainerd, Minnesota, thanks for calling.
Yes. My experience with the liberal arts education was I got advice as a high school student. Some one of my teachers was to, I went to college and graduated with a degree. It would prove to people that I would finish something. So kind of going into college aimlessly, I got a liberal arts education and came out of college and got into the business world. And because of having my degree but no experience in the field, and consequently retired from the business field 40 years later with a liberal arts degree retiring from the business world.
Yeah.
Excellent points, and I would say business with a strong liberal education, business coupled with a liberal arts minor or major, is a strong and powerful combination. It's another program that's very strong here, as we have a Lokenda School of Business on campus, and we have an international focus to it being on the international border, and we want our business graduates to have had courses in the humanities and the social sciences and the natural sciences, and of course they need to understand math and economics and business, but again, producing a business graduate that has that ability to make connections across disciplines and across different peoples and different perspectives will produce a better business graduate that's solely focused on the technical dimensions of business.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about how our lives have changed in the past 20, 25 years, somebody who went to school 20 years ago in a technical field might... I mean, you know, here you are 10 years later, there's been sea changes in the technologies. And so what you learned then, well, it certainly has application, but without a little more liberal education, you may not be able to adapt as well.
I would agree, and if you were to say what skills would I want our graduates to have, I would want them to be curious, passionate about discovery, possess empathy, obviously have an understanding of the sciences, but be able to be adaptable and flexible and be passionate about future learning and basically be experts in learning. And I think that, as you mentioned, as fields evolve so quickly and information is available nonstop within that field and other fields, the ability to take that information, adapt it, and use it to your to the relevance of whatever field you're in or where you're headed in life is critical. And those skills that I mentioned are critical to building that kind of graduate, someone who's creative, innovative, and continuously learning throughout their lives.
Yeah. Tom Plager, our guest today, president of Lake Superior State University. He'll be lecturing on October 4th, just coming up this next week, on the power of liberal arts. It's from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., third floor of the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, and folks are invited to attend that event. I would guess, Tom.
Yes, there's a Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters presentation, part of their creative series that's in partnership with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Arts Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Arts Board. And I encourage listeners who are interested in this topic or the series or learning about the connection or interconnectedness of the humanities, the sciences, the arts, to go to the Wisconsin Academy's website, which is wisconsinacademy.org, to register for this program and others and become a member in the Academy as well.
Let's go to Ann in Green Bay next. Ann, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I have a little analogy for you. There used to be a commercial on TV of an egg, and it would say, "This is your brain." And then they would crack the egg in a bowl and say, "This is your brain on drugs." So the moral of that story was, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And the moral of your story is, the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
I would agree. That's a very concrete example of thinking about that a liberal education allows someone to develop to their fullest potential and ignites learning in many different capacities in different areas and connects perspectives in different areas. So that's a great visual in terms of thinking about the importance of a liberal education.
Mike in Milwaukee, your turn now. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I wanted to call in because of the fact I have a weird degree. I have a liberal arts physics degree. Oh. And I got that at Illinois Institute of Technology back in the 70s. But my goal was to be a teacher in physics. And as a result of the liberal arts degree, I took classes in political science, sociology, English, and so forth, and I really felt that prepared me well for the classroom to teach not only my subject, but to hopefully allow my students to be well-rounded and exposed to a number of things. It also served me well when I went to get my master's degree, because I got that in counseling.
Yeah.
Excellent example, and I think it's important to realize that the natural science and the social sciences are liberal arts fields. A BA in physics, if that's what it was, or a degree in general liberal arts degree with a physics concentration makes perfect sense to me, and I can see how it would produce the end result and give you the experiences that you talked about.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thank you for calling. On to Don in Eau Claire next. Don, thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm a retired physician, age 93, but I'm appalled that in an hour's time that you haven't at least once mentioned the importance of a foreign language in the subject matter that you're teaching. I realize that in scientific fields such as chemistry and physics and the like, perhaps foreign language is no longer so much an essential. But certainly in the fields of medicine, nursing, and that sort of thing, basic knowledge of a foreign language, I think, is paramount, especially given the fact that the demographics in this country within another 20 years or whatever is going to see a browning of our skin. The Anglo-Saxon race is going to become a minority. And I think it's my wife, who is a lifelong foreign language teacher here at Wisconsin, famous in her field and all, died a year ago, but she was very frustrated in some of her early years by the fact that students started out in nursing, and after their first year or so of nursing, they did not have enough time left to follow up on training in a foreign language.
Well, let's get a comment on that from Tom.
Sure. Foreign language is extremely important as part of the liberal education base. And if you remember, I talked about empathy. One of the ways to experience and learn the skill of empathy is to learn a foreign language, to basically learn a culture from the perspective of that culture's language. Language is the transmission of culture in terms of communication, and it's absolutely important and critical. We recommend, and I often recommend, that students take foreign language, take a course in world cultures is important, or cultural anthropology or world geography. The idea of understanding and appreciating different perspectives, different cultures, different traditions, again, is critical for all the reasons that you mentioned. So certainly didn't intend to neglect mentioning foreign language specifically. I would say it's included and is part of the building of that skill of empathy.
Yeah. And at least 2 years of a foreign language are required at the UW, I know, and you may have some requirements along those lines as well, Tom, at Lake Superior State.
And usually what you see at most institutions is the difference between a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Science will be 4 semesters of foreign language or international language and 4 semesters of natural or lab sciences. And I think what's important is to see everyone has a cross experience in those areas. And so what would be the ideal situation is a graduate coming out that has had some exposure to international language, study abroad, and also cultural anthropology, world geography. Those are absolutely critical skills in today's environment.
Yeah. Don, thanks again. Annabelle and Fort Atkinson, your turn. Hi, Annabelle.
Hi, good morning. I have a comment that I think can be positive to people who did not go through school with liberal arts as a degree. I graduated from a small high school, went on to Whitewater, and got a bachelor's degree in education and went into teaching. I chose things that were things I thought I could do well, and I didn't believe that analytical English and that sort of thing was my thing, so I avoided that. I took other kinds of courses. However, I did teach, and then later on went for a master's, and then that was in vocational education, and my exposure there was with adult people who were being educated. And I think the one thing that I have not heard you say, but maybe you implied it, it's our attitude that makes the difference. I've been retired now for probably 25 years, but I feel that I am changing because I belong to a book club, and I'm always interested in the comments of other people who have the same book that I have.
And because we're getting short on time, Annabelle, I'm going to let Tom have a chance to comment.
Well, I appreciate the comments. I think many folks would argue that a degree in education usually has a liberal education base, a variety of courses in the natural sciences, social sciences, humanities, and the fine arts, and then a concentration in pedagogy or teaching. And again, the overall point of this combination is to produce a lifelong learner, which it sounds exactly like the kind of person you are, that you embrace continuous learning and are passionate about connecting fields of study. And it sounds like you are a broadly liberally educated person in terms of your interests and background.
Thank you so much for that call, Annabelle. And Tom, I want to thank you again for being back with us today. And I want just to remind everybody, you'll be lecturing on October 3rd, the evening of October 4th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the third floor of the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. And again, the website to go for more information?
WisconsinAcademy.org.
WisconsinAcademy.org. I know it's going to be a great speech. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. Tom Plager is president of Lake Superior State University, formerly campus executive officer and dean of UW Baraboo and Sauk County. Great guy, and it was. And there are other things that we could have talked about. We just didn't get to today. I'm sorry for that. But we are moving on and thinking ahead to tomorrow. We have another garden talk show. We'll be looking at fall apple and grape harvest and answering all your fruit-related gardening questions. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.